my dad and I don't really get on that much. I think he's an alcoholic who stays in at home, and I can just feel these emotions, negative emotions coming up, when what I should be doing is I should be praying for him that he encounters God. But I don't have faith for that anymore because of the amount of negative thoughts that I've been thinking along the way. Negative thoughts can stop us pushing into the things of God. And that's why I call Thomas the Eeyore of the group, his negative thinking. So we'll come back to that in a bit, but it's something to think about, our negative thinking and how it affects us. But as we, there's two parts of Thomas. So let's have a look at the doubting part, the doubting business. Do you ever struggle with doubt? Great, that's good. I'm pleased you're honest. Doubt affects our lives in many different ways as believers. Reality is that no one's faith is ever perfect, right? Let's just get that out of the way. And that includes me, that includes you, that even includes Chet's Wild. Yeah, I know. So I kind of think of doubt as the gap between our current faith and perfect faith. So there's that void, and that's doubt. That's where doubt sits. So one of the elders of my old church, some of you go there, so I won't mention his name. He's moved on now. That will give it away. He once told me a story, but he was the most, he knew the Bible inside out, backwards, like, amazingly well. And he was just this faith-filled man. And I was like, this guy must never, ever doubt, ever. And I was talking to him about doubt, and he told me that he has a document on his computer of all the questions that he has not got answers for from the Bible. I was like, what? I'm going to say his name. Adam, what? Why? Like, you know the Bible better than I know my hand. Like, why have you got... And he said, like, it's more than two pages, these questions that I have. But it's okay. It's okay to have them. I was shocked, to say the least. Perhaps we've actually misunderstood the nature of faith altogether, assuming that more faith we have, the fewer questions we'll have to answer. But that's not the case. But the Bible offers us a different picture of faith, one in which faith and doubt are actually woven together closer than we might imagine. Faith, after all, is the knowledge but understanding. It says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Who would like to read something for me? Oh, you put your hand up and then put it away. Come on, come and stand up. You got your Bible with you? Great. Find John 20. See, this is the part that I would be more nervous about, because this is the part where John runs away from my Bible. Don't you find that? Whenever you've got to find someone, you're looking for it, he always runs away. John 20, 19 to 29.
That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and at his side. They were filled with joy, and when they saw the Lord, Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive one another's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again. He said to Jesus, "Put your fingers here and look at my..." No, then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and look at my hands. Put your hands into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me."
Round of applause. Don't put your head up. You did a great job. There's two things. Who picked up on the fact that Jesus breathed on people? Oh, I hope he brushed his teeth that morning. Yeah, wonderful. So Jesus comes back and Thomas isn't there, and his friends tell him about this story, but he's like, no, I don't believe you. Like, he'd been out with his friends, healing people, seeing God move in amazing ways, must have trusted them in a lot of ways, but he was like, no. I need to see it. I need to see Jesus to believe it. And Jesus doesn't tell him off. And Jesus tells a lot of people off. And he actually says, he actually comes back. And I reckon he came back just for Thomas. And says, "Look, you want to know? Like, touch here. Like, get right in there. Pull out a rib or two. Like, come on. This is how much. Six things about doubting, and then I'll summarize. So Jude 22 tells us to have no guitars that will fall over. No, it doesn't. It says to have mercy on those who doubt. Many times, doubt isn't an overnight bout. It doesn't always end with sunshine and ponies and Eeyores to cuddle. For people like Thomas, like, doubt can be a lifelong journey. But it's an opportunity for you to learn patience, if that's you. Jude 22. Number two, realizing that doubt often leads to deepening faith. This one's a good one. Many of us become believers at an early age, with faith through our parents who we trust. Then we become older and our faith is tested through trials, temptations, sufferings, lost. This is why most significant doubt often comes in sort of like our teenage to 20s age. But this, I don't think, is a bad thing. I don't think doubt is a bad thing. We need to consider the truth. No, scrap that. In order to embrace our faith more deeply, such doubt often results in a stronger faith. Number three, be ready to live with mystery. Sometimes we want all the answers. I love to know the answer. Who loves to know the answer? Before the question is even asked, I want to know the answer. We want complete understanding before we commit to anything. It's buying a car, and I want to know where the person went with the car last, how many services it had. I want complete understanding of that vehicle. And we could be like that with God. While God has revealed such small amounts of himself to us, and we struggle with that, and sometimes we don't like that. Number four, make the main thing the main thing. Make the main things the main things. So what I'm talking about here is, when I say it's okay to doubt, I think we're at risk if we don't hold on to some things. So again, this guy called Adam tells it like this, that there are closed hands things that I'm going to hold on to with white knuckles that I'm not going to let go of, and there's open hand issues that I'm gonna let fly and not so holding on to them so tightly. So those things that you're gonna hold on to, they're important. So they're stuff like Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus died for me, Jesus died for me personally, he rose, he's victorious, all those sorts of things that are foundational in our faith. They're the things that if you start doubting about those things, you need to speak to someone. There's open hand things like whether the world was created in 7 days. I'm happy to have a discussion about that. If you change my opinion on it, it's not going to make me doubt. Does that make sense? So you need to work out for yourselves what are things that you're going to hold on to and not let anyone get in there, and what ones you're happy to have a discussion about. Does that make sense? That's a really important point. Live according to faith you have. Doubt is not unbelief. Doubt is the bridge that connects faith to perfect faith. Okay? Doubt is asking questions, pushing ourselves in our faith. Say that last one again. Live according to the faith you have. So doubt is not unbelief. Okay, I'll repeat that again. Doubt is not unbelief. Doubt is the bridge that connects our current faith to perfect faith. Number six, doubting your faith does not mean you don't have a faith. Comes back to the whole closed hands things that you're holding on to. Sorry, I've gone quite hard on the first two sessions. I'm really sorry. I've gone straight for the heart because I think it's really important. Yeah. Matt, do you want my notes? Here we go. Point number six. Point number six. Doubting your faith does not mean you don't have a faith. Just wait for the old man to catch up. You there? He's there. Let's move on. Yeah. The reason why I've gone hard and I've gone for your hearts on the first two nights is on purpose. Because I think if you give your heart to Jesus, stuff changes. So, in summary, Thomas was a bit of an Eeyore. Negative comments, negative thinking. He's a pessimist, and pessimism can ruin your walk. I've seen it. It's dangerous. Doubting is not bad. In situations, it can make it actually a healthy relationship with God, as long as you hold on to those closed hand issues. Doubting for Thomas was important because he could then declare that Jesus was the Messiah. So for us, now, when you find the answer to some of those questions that you have, you then get to declare more about what Jesus and who Jesus is. Okay, what if he doesn't take away the doubts? I thought that was important to keep in there. Keep asking. And keep asking. And keep asking. Okay, do you want to write that one down? He's already got it. Position yourself under the gospel. Keep loving, keep looking to Jesus in situations until he gives you the answer or you go to heaven. Let's stand quietly. Okay, guys. If we, guys, if we can get the band up, I've got a quick prayer and then I'm going to hand over to Matt. All right, so you can close your eyes about now. Is that right? Close your eyes. Get into the pose to receive. That's hands out, like you're catching a bucket. Okay. My hope this evening is that the Holy Spirit would awaken your hearts to the reality that no matter how much you doubt or how much you doubt God's ability to help you, that you remember that he loves you. That you remember that he loves you with a burning passion that took him to the cross. That's for you personally tonight. Awaken our hearts to this truth, God. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to Jesus now. And I pray for those who are absolutely convinced that they are not saved. They doubt they're saved. They doubt that there's a way that God could love them, or they couldn't. They're not good enough to get in his gang. There's no way that God could delight in them because what they've done. God, would you remove that doubt now in Jesus' name? Remove the doubt. God, do what only you can do and change our hearts. Speak into the hearts. Speak into those doubts that we have. Open the doors of our hearts where there is doubt and remove them. Like last night, that picture of the heart with the hallway and the doors. Just now, just be talking to God. Which ones, which doubt doors you want him to open? Just picture yourself walking down the corridor of your heart with Jesus. Jesus, this one is a big one for me. This doubt right here. I doubt you love me. This one, this door right here. Just tell Jesus, I need you to open this door. I need to see what's in here. Jesus, because I can't move on without you opening this door. I doubt you can love me. Just take Jesus on that walk now. Just shine the doors. I think we just need some keys, just some quiet without singing, if that's all right.
Yeah, get your eyes closed. We're just going to wait on God. Really want us to do that. Keep your hands outstretched. Just going to wait on the Holy Spirit for a little while. Because just playing on for what Jake has said there, I actually think what God wants to do is just to allow us to receive His Spirit. And the Bible talks about, Jesus talks in the Gospels about how the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us into all truth. And it's what we need to know as we work out our doubts and our questions. We need to know His truth. And He is the Spirit of truth. And I just want us now just to wait on the Holy Spirit and have some time to receive. So as Sam and Isaac just play on the instruments, let's just hold our hands out as a sign of receiving, as if someone has just kind of come in and put in a gift into our hands. Just hold your hands out, if that's what you're saying in your heart, and allow God just to touch you by His Holy Spirit, to fill you afresh tonight. And leaders may just come and begin to pray with you, perhaps if they're around. If you would like that, perhaps kind of put one hand in the air and give a little wave. They may kind of see that the Holy Spirit's already working in your life. You know, they may see some kind of physical thing and start praying with you anyway. But leaders begin to just move around the room and start praying with some people now. That would be fantastic. God's here and He's doing some great things. So come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you're here. Thank you, Lord. There's lots God wants to do tonight. Feeling really like scrunched up inside, like a picture of a piece of paper which has been screwed up so tight that it's really hard to unpeel it. And that's how you feel this tension inside, because that's how your heart feels. And God just wants to come by His gentle Holy Spirit and just unfold that piece of paper, scrunched up ball, and just loosen all that pain, all that fear, and just unfold all of those things that have been tightly knotted up into a ball for so long in your life, and flood His healing into your life right now. So just let Him do that. Thank you, Jesus, for that.